Hi. So I did, about a year ago, my husband and I started reading a bunch of books on aging. I mean, like, you know, it's like what Heather said, whatever phase, whatever stage you're at, you kind of decide that you're going to embrace it. And so we started out reading this book, Being Mortal by Atul Gawande. And it's a wonderful book that talks about how bad our society is doing at taking care of the aging people and the process of death and dying. So this has been a wonderful book. And then we were introduced to Aging Matters, Finding Your Calling for the Rest of Your Life by R. Paul Stevens. Rod Olps had found this book, and you know, at a time when, you know, my husband is 70, you know, and he's, you know, the society says, oh, well, maybe you're supposed to be retiring. And he's like, but I don't want to retire, you know. So this has been a great book to give us great wisdom going forward as to how to live our life, which, you know, guess what? He's not going to retire. Take a little more time off here and there. But and then we were led to this book, Learn to Grow Old by Paul Tournier, which is rich. This man lived during Schaefer's time, and he was a psychologist, and it was it's been a great book. I haven't read all of it, but I read some of it. And then the best book I can recommend to you is Nancy's book called Silver Lining. And it's an excellent book about, you know, the age when you're a grandma. And we also have read Even Exile by Becca. And I know this isn't on aging, but it's about being a woman. And her, you know, her description about, you know, the purpose of womanhood, all of it is wonderful. So this is why I think they asked me, because they knew I was reading all these books. And I have to go with the script, because I otherwise will forget what I'm supposed to say. That's a joke. I mean, it's not a joke. Okay. So I'm humbled to share with you what little I know about the wisdom of aging. And the first place I want to start is our faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sovereignty. And wait, before I get started, I know this room is mostly you young women. And I don't want you to tune me out, because I think life is about preparing yourself for all of life. And so I appreciate your listening. At the same time, you know, it's like it is important what I'm going to say. And I know my grandson's sitting right there, and it's just so hard to see him because I just want to go squeeze him. Hi, Theo. Okay. It was kind of like I looked out there and it was like, oh, it's Theo. Hi. Okay. So, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sovereignty in our life is the foundation of all wisdom. We cannot do one thing apart from Him. God determined the day you were born, and He's determined the day you're going to die. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So since we're talking about the wisdom of aging, we have to realize that we have to understand, what does that mean to fear the Lord? And for me, at different times, I've tried to define it for myself, and I realize this is how what I've come to, is that the fear of the Lord springs from faith, and is a special response of reverential awe that recognizes total dependence on God. We cannot take another breath unless He wills it for us. And that's awe. That's fearfully wonderful awe to know that we are in His hands. And so, you know we all are going to die. And we don't know when. And we, most of us, are going to be aging. And time to get down under His feet. So, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Thankfully, we know the end of the story. Hallelujah! Can I get an amen? No. Christ died on the cross, and when He did, He did this. We were pardoned for our sins. He conquered death for us all and is now reigning in heaven. It is our job to glorify him and enjoy him forever, and all of our life is to be a journey of surrender and sanctification. And someday we will go to heaven at the exact determined time that he has ordained. And we will be glorified with a new body and will eventually live with him on a new heaven and a new earth. And that is the vision, and that is our hope. And that is how we can be here together and surrender our lives and live it as well as we know how to. In Psalm 90:12, it says, "So teach us then to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." R. Paul Stevens, in his book, Aging Matters, says, "Wisdom is the practical know-how for everyday living. And the wisdom we gain from numbering our days is recognizing the brevity of life, seeing the importance of everyday living fully in the temporal and eternal at the same time." So we begin aging the moment we're born. You know, when we were young, when we were 4, we wanted to be 5, when we were 10, we wanted to be 12. And then it was fine when we were 20 and we were in our 20s. It was fine. Also, we were in our 30s, but oh my goodness, I turned 40. And then, well, I'm not too old yet, but then 50. Oh my goodness, I'm a half a century. And then 60. Uh-oh, I'm getting old. And then 70. There's no denying the aches and the pains and the wrinkles, and we are old. And 80s, you're definitely old. So I'm going to break down this talk on aging by identifying 4 different stages of aging. You know, very few of you are actually in this particular age group that I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it in a way that you can prepare. So the first one I want to talk about is middle age. So middle age is like 40 to 60. And then there's what's called young old. And the young old are 60 to 75, 70 to 75. And then there's old old. I know these categories, well, anyway, these categories were in Aging Matters, so that's where this comes from. I have to identify it somehow. Old old is 70 to 85. And then there's oldest old. Okay, so middle age. And I'm going to be describing this from the time of the empty nest. It's a period of time when you have been very fruitful, you've been very productive, you're fulfilled. It's kind of like, you know, Heather talking about, you know, she's a mom and she's very active with her kids, and now she's not the youngest mom, she's got older kids, and then pretty soon there's going to be a transition. And the transition is the empty nest. And I know that even for me, when before it happened, it was like, well, I was excited for it to happen. I knew it was going to happen, you know. I knew my boys were going to get married, and they were going to, you know, and I was just going to be best friends, you know. We were going to go on with life, and everything would be perfect. And then I realized they're gone. It's really quiet at home. And I think it's really a shock for some women. And I don't think you can even comprehend it until you get there. Okay? And so this is kind of my way of saying, well, it's the wisdom of aging. So I know you're awfully young, but I do want you to think about some things. And so I'm going to give you some ideas on how you can prepare. Okay? So first of all, I think you need to meditate on this and talk to your husband about it. Talk about what you think it will be like. I mean, really. Just, you know, how old will you be? You know, how old do you think you'll be when your kids leave home? And then read books about it. You know, there are a lot of books out there about how you can prepare for what it's going to be like to have an empty nest. And I know that, you know, obviously you want to be fruitful all of your life. But this is something that I think that will help prepare you. Keep your marriage strong. I know we're so focused on our kids at this stage that we sometimes are walking beside our husband, but we're not really focused on each other. And so plan to have dates you know, I know most of you do this well anyway, but I'm just reminding you to do this. And also, you know, keep your sex life alive. It's not true that, you know, the sex drive disappears when you're old. It's not true. It just changes. So, you know, keep your marriage rich and alive. I think it's important to take care of your physical body. Strive to eat well, exercise, etc. But not to be a hottie or 50 trying to look 20. You know what I'm talking about, okay? I really have seen women, you know, who at this age, I think it's very important to stay beautiful and to stay beautiful and true to the age you are and not to be, you know, puffing yourself up or, you know, I don't know, just, you know, the stuff that I see sometimes women do to themselves, and yet I'm not against, you know, taking care of yourself and looking good. So the purpose of staying fit, though, is to be better, to be fit to serve the kingdom. You know, I've exercised all my life, but there was a period of time in the last 10 years we've had a lot of physical challenges, and I had not exercised until just the last couple of years, really took it on to become stronger. I can't tell you the vitality I feel. I feel so much better. I feel like I can be here instead of, oh my gosh, I'm going to survive getting through whatever meeting I'm in. So, you know, that happens. And my friend Trish says, you got to move it or you'll lose it. So it's important to not succumb to middle age and to fatness. And I mean that with all respect. Strive to develop. And I know this is so great because I know Jan talked about this last time. Strive to develop lifelong friends. Paul Tournier, in his book, Learn to Grow Old, says this on family and friends. Continue to be passionately interested in their lives. Strive to develop trusting and intimate relationships with family and friends. As we grow older, the temptation for loneliness is very real. Now, his words, he was a psychologist, and he was wonderful. But he says passionately interested, not just like, oh, I have friends. You know, that you actually strive to maintain those friendships in a way that's real. You know, how are you doing? You know, stay in touch. So that's important. And I think that keeping spiritually healthy is the most important. Nancy has a great chapter in her book, Silver Lining, and it talks about lots of ways that you can stay spiritually healthy. I'm just going to refer to it. It's page 105, so if you want to read that, a lot about, you know, reading your Bible, worshiping together, keeping short accounts, and don't tolerate sin in your own heart, be faithful in daily praying, love and fellowship, be generous with all God has given you. There's just wonderful ways to stay spiritually healthy. Okay. We're going to move on to the 60, 75-ish group, the old young. So this is the getting ready stage. And I really want us to challenge our perceptions about this because I feel like, you know, there are changes at this age, but I think people sometimes just succumb and think, oh, I'm getting old. And so they start acting old when they really aren't old. So quit it. But there are physical changes. You look in the mirror and you wonder, who is that person? I mean, I sat with my friends at a lunch recently and, you know, we were all kind of like, tell them that, you know, when we look in the mirror, we really, even though we're 65, we really feel 30. You know, so, you know, it's kind of humbling, you know, to have all your look so in your body is getting old. Or sometimes you look in the mirror and you think, oh my goodness, I see my mother. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking like your mother, but it does kind of humble you when that happens. So fight for your vitality. Usually at this stage, we have usually gone through menopause by now, and you notice things like it's harder to lose weight. You know, so there are a lot of different, you know, physical challenges that are going to go on. Your energy level and capacity changes. You're tired more easily. I would hear women say this to me, you know, about taking care of grandchildren or, you know, women getting tired. And I was so determined. I was like, when I get there, I'm not going to be like that. I mean, I was just like, oh, how can they say that? And now I'm here. And the truth, that's true. You do get tired more. You don't have as much energy. And I think it is hard for the younger generation to fully understand that. So those of you who are young, who, you know, and you wish sometimes that your mother was more involved or, you know, like understand that our frames are different. And I think it's good it helps if you communicate with your family about it so that whatever your demands are, you know, there's an understanding there. It's like, I can be full of energy in the morning and I go get my grandkids and I'm having a great time. And then all of a sudden it's just like, my energy's gone. Where'd it go? Well, I know how I learn to take care of myself. I rest, and then I'm ready to go again. But it is a time when that happens. And I think the temptation at this time of life is to sit around and complain about all your ailments. And I think it's okay to talk shop, because I know you young women, you get together and you talk shop. You talk about, you know, taking care of your kids and what that's like. And but, you know, one time recently we were sitting around as friends and we were talking. And all of a sudden it was just like we stopped and went, listen to us. We're like little old ladies. This was Chris. She was like, little old ladies talking about all the things that's wrong with us. You know, so we have to watch ourselves not to complain and to recognize also that, yeah, guess what? My body aches. So, we must be determined, though, to be fruitful in old age. Old age does not mean reduced spirituality and diminished sensitivity to the spirit. It takes more energy to put yourself out, but you just got to keep going. So, it's like, that's a temptation to kind of slow down. Maybe you don't want to have people over for dinner. Well, just do it anyway. Just do it anyway. Okay? And it's very clear from the Psalms what we're supposed to be doing. Psalm 71, 17 and 18 says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous work. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. And in Psalm 92, 12 through 15, the righteousness shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Have you ever seen a cedar in Lebanon? Have you ever looked at the pictures of a cedar in Lebanon? They're huge and they're gorgeous and their limbs reach out way high and their roots go really deep. I looked up a picture of it because I thought it was pretty cool. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So I want you to know that most of the patriarchs in the Bible were old when they did their most amazing work. God used them when they were old. You know, Moses and and Noah and Sarah. Sarah was 90 when she gave birth. No wonder she laughed. You know, she thought she was used up when the Lord said, no, you're going to have a son. And, you know, you think of Anna, who saw the baby Jesus when she was an old woman and then was able to declare the righteousness that is to come. And so, you know, hold on, because you have no idea how the Lord will use you in your aging years. I pray for it, you know, and it could be just a little thing. You never know. I mean, it's like just loving the Lord is a blessing to the people that you are around. So our job then is to declare the gospel to the next generation. We are to invest in the next generation. It's an opportunity to walk in the way with our grandchildren. I mean, just being with them. I know there's lots of different ways we can be with our grandchildren, or maybe that you young women want your mom or to be with your grandchildren. It isn't like, oh, I'm just going to be sharing the gospel with them every time I'm with them. But just that you love the Lord makes all the difference. But I know when I hang out with my little grandkids, we listen to songs that, I'm going to get to the Psalms, but right now we sing songs like, I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. And Theo sings it all the time. We get in my car and he goes, "Down in my heart, down in my heart." So we play it in the car, you know, and so we sing that, don't we, Theo? Okay, now I'm going to talk about our trials. You know, we have trials our whole life. And one of the greatest gifts, the wisdom of aging is now being the age I am, I can look back on all the trials I've had and I can see God's hand in all of it. And when you're right in the middle of a trial, you just feel angst and you're kicking at the goads and you just really are wrestling with God for a certain outcome and you wish, and you want it resolved and you don't understand why he's giving you that particular one and you're even thinking that he must be wrong because this trial is, you know, too hard or it's too painful. But later, now, when I look back, I see his hand so clearly. So remember, God has a greater plan for you than the one you thought. So old, and oldest old. I have a real concern for the aged. In the modern Western world, there is a common belief that as you get old, you're no longer needed. And you feel like you're not important. I think there's a predisposition to be fascinated with the young, to idolize youth, and dismiss the aged. This is not true in some other cultures, but it is true in our culture. You know, once you get to be a certain age, and I know, you know, people look and they just kind of, oh, they're just old. You know, they don't matter. And as a community, I think we have an opportunity to change this. And I'm not saying that all of you are like this, but I think our society is like this. And so we have to walk in a way that returns a sense of respect and honor to the older people. Because we're not dead yet. And somebody who's 70 and 80, they're not dead yet. They're lovely. And I really would like us to change this and to value the saints that have been around for a long time. I want to encourage you to look around at church and find older people to say hi to. Now, I know there's some lovely older women here that even I don't know that I'm looking forward to get to know more. And I think it's important that I'm really serious. I want you to go to church this next Sunday, and I want you to look around. I know it's so easy to get caught up in just talking to your own friends, but I want you to look around and say, who is an older woman that I could go meet or who I can say hi to and that I could introduce my children to and that they can see that you want to introduce them to this person because they're special. Because they are special. You know, they've lived so many more years than we have or you have. So I challenge you to do that. And I have, I'm just going to take a few minutes to talk about a few suggestions of how I think the older women and the younger women can bridge the gap with each other. Because I think we also, this is a perfect example. You know, Thrive does a great example of having an activity where the older and younger women can get together. And even the way you're seated at tables, it's a combination of older and younger women. But I think we can do better and how we can bridge the gap. So I think you might think about I'm talking about older and younger, so you might take an older or a younger woman, so I'm thinking to the older and the younger, out to coffee, just to see if God leads you to think of someone that that you'd like to get to know. And you older women, this might be a good way for you to think about who God might lead you to. Or just the opposite, you young women, you know, who would you like to get to know? And not because you necessarily need advice on anything, but just because you'd like to get to know her. And, you know, you can pray to God about it and see who he leads you to. I think it's very important with mothers and daughters and daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws to create good communication and relations within a family. We really need each other. And it's wonderful to be available to take care of grandchildren. But I think also it's really important for the adult children and the grandparents to spend time together. to communicate with one another. You know, we have a thing where, you know, we'll go along for a period of time and then, you know, we do all sorts of things together as a family. But then John and I'll say, hey, let's take JT and Kelsey out to dinner. Or let's take Isaac and Katie out to dinner. Or Luke, you know, we spend time. We love it. We love to just spend time together. And I know that when we're at family gatherings, you know, often, you know, we get a chance to visit and all that too. But you need to spend time as adults, I think, with each other too. So I think it's important to make sure you're including the older generation in your families and not to have them feel like they've been put out to pasture. Okay. So we need to learn how to do this together. I think it's important that we can learn to pray for one another, of course. But then if you, I know Trish is a great prayer warrior. I appreciate her ministry. And when I asked her about what I should say, she said, well, find people you can pray for and go on up to them and ask them if you can pray for them and tell them you're praying for them. And I think that's so important. And I think also grandparents and, you know, Mary, I got this great from Mary. You know, they have little cards and they have their grandchildren's name on it. And they've asked their grandchildren how they can pray for them. And what a great idea, you know, to, and the grandkids are so excited to be able to tell them what to pray for. And then what a great thing to come back and say, how's that going? You know, you're building a relationship there, a relationship for eternity. I mean, we're going to be in eternity together. Okay, so I need to just touch on dying a little bit, because that's a huge subject and really don't have time to talk about it, but we need to approach death with way more dignity than we have. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a nursing home. I mean, nursing homes are they're hard places to go to. And I just see that there has to be a vision for something different. There has to be. And so, you know, we need to also honor the dying process and not medically try to save people and keep them alive when that's not what God has in store. You know, we rush them off to the hospital at the time they're about to die and, you know, try to save them. Now, it's appropriate for some. So don't get me wrong. I suppose if I, you know, fell over right now, I'd like for somebody to try to save me. So it has to do with who, you know, the situation and the dying person. So, we have a lot more to learn, and we are now on the verge of a huge group of people in our congregation getting old. You know, I'm 67, and I know there's a whole group of my friends, us friends, who are in our 60s. You know, and it's dawning on us. You know, it's dawning on us. Oh my goodness! And we don't have a lot of older people. We don't have a lot of the old really in our congregation. So we need to learn how to do this and how to do it in such a way that we honor God and support each other and love each other. But I feel like we have to fight for our vitality and fight to be useful and not give in to the perceptions society has of old people, because I don't think it's true. And I think that, you know, we can bust out of that. Now, I know our frame is changing. Our frame will get old and it'll get older. But I think we can also, you know, be aware of busting out those preconceived notions of, you know, people who are older. So our lives are about service. In our old age, we need to look for ways to serve and stay active and engage with the church family. You know, my mother-in-law, she was in her 80s, and she would take care, she would go to the grocery store and pick up things and then go visit her friends who were 100. And that, you know, I loved it. She was a wonderful godly example to me. So the wisdom of aging is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all ways, embrace each stage of life, learn from the trials that come your way, and pray for wisdom throughout to live a life well. So I'm going to end with a poem. And this poem, I found this poem on Facebook. And some of you may have seen this, I don't know, because I reposted it because I loved it. But I thought, oh, I'm just going to say this. So this is called The Gift Wrap and the Jewel by Wanda Goines. I look in the mirror, and what do I see? But a little old lady looking back at me, with bags and sags and wrinkles and wispy white hair. And I ask my reflection, how did you get there? You once were straight and vigorous, and now you're stooped and weak, when I tried so hard to keep you from becoming an antique. My reflection eye twinkled and solemnly replied, you were looking at the gift wrap and not the jewel inside, a living gem and precious of unimagined worth, unique and true, the real you, the only you on earth. The years that spoil your gift wrap with other things more cruel should purify and strengthen and polish that jewel. So focus your attention on the inside, not the out, of being kinder, wiser, more content, and more devout. Then, when your gift wrap slips away, your jewel will be set free to radiate God's glory to all eternity. Amen. Well, thank you. There are some questions that you're going to talk about, and I just really support you all to be thinking of how to answer them in a way, and if there's some great ideas that come up, maybe somebody could jot them down and give them to me. That would be great. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm.